It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Thanks for coming back, everybody. JT in studio today with Bobby. And we're taking your calls, and we're excited to be here. Raiders got a big game coming up against Cleveland. We'll talk to Dalton Wasserman. He's going to join us next from Pro Football Focus. Very good insider. So we got him coming up here momentarily. We'll get a feel for what he thinks is going on with this team, and we'll go around the league, as there's a lot of teams around the league that are playing poorly. They have bad records, really bad records, and they're at a point now where they have to figure out it's make or break time. I mean, I got good friends who live in down in Duval County in Jacksonville, and they've checked out on Trevor Lawrence. They're gone. They're out. They want to fire the coach, Doug Peterson. They want to get rid of I don't think you can get rid of a quarterback you just signed like that. You can't get rid of Trevor Lawrence here. But the money, the amount of money that's going to some of these quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson, Tua Tagovailoa. Look at the veteran quarterbacks and what they're making overall as we get back to the show. All right, Dalton Wasserman, really thrilled that we can talk to him, and hopefully often analyst, contributor, and co-host of the PFF College Football Show, also covers the NFL. And Dalton, I'm going to start with college football. My son went to OU, Tennessee went into Oklahoma and handled them. Oklahoma benched their starting quarterback, and they'll go with the younger player here. What do you think of this Big 12 versus the SEC now that Texas and Oklahoma went to the better conference?
Well, I think Texas is certainly in better shape than Oklahoma. We've seen that they've gotten adjusted. They've got all the weapons and the offensive line play. But right now, Oklahoma, honestly, offensively is a mess. And you know, it was already tough preseason, losing your offensive coordinator, Jeff Levy, to Mississippi State, and then having to rebuild the entire offensive line. And you have a redshirt freshman quarterback. Now you have a true freshman quarterback that's going to start for them. But, you know, right now the issue, Jackson Arnold is in the spotlight and he's being benched and the quarterback situation is in the news, but they're not good enough on the offensive line. They've struggled at receiver. It's really a team-wide offensive problem for Oklahoma right now. Right now, and I don't know that we've ever said this about the Sooners, they have one of the worst offenses all the way around in the Power
Five. Yeah, with all those Heisman statues outside the stadium and who's played there recently from Baker Mayfield, Caleb Williams, and obviously Kyler Murray to see the problem they have. How do I navigate what's going on with Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning? Because Arch, you do it against UT San Antonio. I'm not going to pay much attention here, but Arch Manning, I'm really excited to see what he's going to do next because I automatically mentally think he's a pro quarterback. And I didn't think yours would end up being this great, but what's the status there? How is this all going to play out in your opinion?
No, honestly, I think, look, you should be excited about Arch Manning. I think everyone should be, right? Anytime you have another Manning in football, it's fun. Yeah. But no, I think when Quinn Ewers is healthy, this is his team. Manning has looked solid. I think it's good for him, especially if this is going to happen early in the season. It's good for him to get reps in easier games and get on the field and get comfortable and all of that, right? But this team, look, Quinn Ewers brought him to the Final Four last year. He was on a raging hot start, especially that game against Michigan. He was fantastic. This is Ewers' team when he's healthy, and we have yet to see any reason to think that Manning would replace Ewers full-time, right? Manning, again, has looked solid, maybe not spectacular, but in the situations they're in, he's getting the job done, and I think what they do have is faith that if something were to happen to Ewers again or, say, for any reason in big games he were ineffective and they had to pull him, then they would have faith in Manning. But it's Ewers' team. And I know Manning, we should be excited for Manning, especially next year. But once Ewers is healthy, he's got to be in there.
One of the college quarterback, Cam Ward out of Miami. You know, I'm here in Vegas where we're wondering about a quarterback for the future. You got Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew. Cam Ward, where is he going to go? I mean, we talking top three, top ten? Because his athletic ability, size, and strength, and the way he's making throws outside the pocket, I'm only just seeing the highlights. I'm not watching every game, but, man, he looks good.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's encouraging to see Ward as possibly one of the Heisman favorites and a possibility to be a first-round pick in what is definitely a lighter quarterback class than last year. I think before we start putting him in the top 5 or 10 conversation, I think we do need to see him go through kind of the brunt of the ACC schedule because they haven't played any good defenses yet. He tore up, and to his credit, he's tearing up everyone in front of him. USF secondary that they played last week is really not good. Florida secondary, even in that first game, impressive that he goes into the Swamp and dominates an SEC team, but Florida secondary has struggled for the last couple of years. So I do want to see him get through the ACC schedule and keep winning and keep playing the way he's playing, but I think he could absolutely be a first-round pick, and he's probably one of the 3 or 4 best quarterbacks in this draft class. Right,
Dalton
now.
Wasserman is our guest, PFF, and the last game would be Georgia-Alabama. Who do you like in this game? It's in Tuscaloosa. They're both power teams. Georgia did not look very good against Kentucky, having the ability to find that second, third gear to put them away. And obviously Alabama has this game circled, and I can't wait to see what their quarterback does in this game.
Yeah, I agree. Look, and I think there's a lot of variables in this game. How does Kirby Smart attack Jalen Milroe? You know, is Milroe going to be able to take those deep shots on a really good Georgia secondary? It's a very tough game to pick. I'm leaning just barely towards Alabama. I like the way their defense has played, even though you would think, oh, they lost Nick Saban, there will be a significant drop-off. Their defense has played really, really well. I think they're running the ball better with Jam Miller and Justice Haynes than people are giving them credit for. Ryan Williams, a 17-year-old receiver on the outside, is just incredible. And honestly, Georgia, they haven't gotten the passing game going, and I don't know that it's so much Carson Beck. They just don't have the weaponry they did last year. Nobody's stepping up yet. You know, you lose Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey in the draft. I'm not sure Georgia has enough weapons if they get into obvious passing situations and if they fall behind in this game, I think they have a real problem because Georgia, I think they have to play a very defensive running game, play action, conservative type of game, a low scoring game to get into this. But I think if this game gets anywhere near the 30s, I think it really favors Alabama.
Dalton Wasserman's our guest, PFF underscore Dalton. So walk me through what happened in that Raider game and why they weren't ready to play Carolina. I understand. I knew how good Andy Dalton was. I didn't expect him to be the first quarterback to throw for 300 and 300 touchdowns. He annihilated the Raiders in the first half, so the Raiders couldn't get back into the game. And the Raiders have injuries here, but what'd you see when you looked at that game?
Well, sometimes you fall into that little letdown trap, right? And we saw the same thing with Tampa against Denver, where coming off a huge win, the Raiders just got a huge win against Baltimore. But I think the biggest problem I see right now with the Raiders is they're very one-dimensional. I think they are last in the league in rushing right now, or at least in the bottom three, but they might be last. They don't sustain drives enough. And even against the Ravens, it took them a while. They were behind by 10, so they got to throw every play, but they don't have much balance on offense, right? And they really, even with Minshew, if he's playing reasonably well, they need to be able to balance this thing out on offense. You know, because I think their defense is pretty good. I know a lot's been made about business decisions and all that stuff, but since Pierce took over the team midway through last year, their defense has played like something close to a top 10 defense. So, look, Andy Dalton did tear him up, and the Panthers, the rest of the Panthers team is better than people give it credit for. They just didn't get a chance to allow it to shine because of the way Bryce Young was playing the first two games. But I think the Raiders would really benefit from finding some sort of run game to ball control and play a more defensive game, almost play something like the way the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing. Slow the game down, be a little more conservative, control the clock. But right now, their offense is just, it's on Gardner Minshew's shoulders, and that's really not what you want.
Yeah, you nailed it. You know, we were on the flagship station, and you're the first one who just said it. It's taken 3 weeks. They don't sustain drives. So if you go 3 and out, it puts pressure on your defense. If you can't run the ball, you become pass predictable. And it's hard to pick up first downs when you're 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 11. It's hard to do, right?
Absolutely. It's hard to do. And look, they're not the only team. There's about 6 or 8 teams right now I see with the same problem. Cleveland Browns, Indianapolis Colts at times, the Cowboys for sure. There are several teams in the league right now my phrase I've been using this week is just they're not good enough to win without balance. And the Raiders are on that list of teams right now that don't have offensive balance.
Thank you. Look forward to having you on more often. Fantastic content. Appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got it. There he is. Really good. That was a good guest. He described the Raiders good. He's more of a college football guy. But Dalton Wasserman really was up to speed on the Raiders, who defensively for the Raiders, they're given 226 yards up in the air. And, you know, when they're rushing defense, He's at 152 yards a game. I mean, a lot of that had to do with what happened with J.K. Dobbins in the Charger game. But the defense, which we thought would be top five, are you kidding me? It's near the it's not at the bottom, but, you know, that Andy Dalton game took these stats and really hurt the Raiders a lot. The Raiders are giving up over 1,000 yards now, 1,136. Let me give you a total here where they are. So Pittsburgh's number one. They've played three games. They've given up 689 yards total. You go all the way down to third from the bottom, and the Raiders are giving up 1,136. The only two teams that have given up more yards than the Raiders, passing and rushing combined, are the Indianapolis Colts and the Los Angeles Rams. Now, we play the Rams. Remember, we play the Rams pretty soon here. And the Rams just won a big game against the Niners, but they got a lot of injuries. And if the Raiders can just keep everybody healthy the rest of the way, this injury report, cross your fingers, man. I'm hoping for Marcus Epps. Sage Raider in Connecticut on the mobile app. Go ahead.
JT, God bless you, man. I just want to thank you, man, for your loyalty to the Raider Nation all these years since 1998. You started off with George Atkinson, man. I just want to thank you.
You
from New York, man. I just appreciate you and applaud all that you do for us, man.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. It means a lot. You guys do more for me than I do for you, but I appreciate that. How do the Raiders get to 2-2?
Well, we need to dig deep, man. We need to dig deep. You got me going with when you took a call from, you called it Raider Royalty from Raider D. He talked about Highway 63 with Art Shell and Upshaw, man. So we really need to be tap into some of that old school Raider stuff and beef up our line. We've, somehow they need to get our line going because that's the problem right there in the trenches. So I'd like to see them do something this week and get that together so we can become 2-2 because 2-2 is a whole lot better than 1-3, man. So
two and two would be great. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you tracking us down in Connecticut. Nice that we have Raider fans from all over. I'm always optimistic early because I know that anything can happen, right? You can win a game here or there. I mean, we hosted the show the whole week of the Baltimore game. No one called me saying they beat Baltimore. Not one person. And we took a lot of calls that week. I sat here. No one said, JT, we're going to win, beat Baltimore to get to 1-1. Everybody had the Raiders 0-2. Everybody, including you. After 0-1, it was 0-2, baby. They got to 1-1. Then they play a Carolina team that has nothing to lose. They're playing for their lives, but they came in for the Raiders' home opener and shocked the world. Cleveland's not shocking anybody. We know who Cleveland is. You got to guard Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper. They have really good players in their secondary. They have a better defense than the Raiders typically. Typically, they do. So Cleveland, remember I told you, what are the stats? The Raiders are ranked 30 out of 32. Cleveland's not in the top, but they're outside the top 10. Cleveland's given up only 928 yards a game. When it comes to passing yards and total yards, this is interesting to me for Cleveland. Cleveland's giving up 195 passing yards a game, and they're giving up 113 yards on the ground. So they're above average. They're better than the Bengals. They're better than the Vikings. Look at the Vikings stats this year. And what the Vikings are able to do, better than the Giants. And just remember this, if you take one thing from what I said this week, just one, the New York Giants just beat the Cleveland Browns. The New York Giants were dead. You think the Raiders suffered a tough loss? The Giants were 0-2, about to go probably 1-7, 1-8, and they beat Cleveland and they sacked them 8 times. So don't tell me Cleveland's not beatable. The Giants just beat them. Dallas went in there week one and humiliated them. We got to beat them now. You get Cleveland at this time, they're a wounded animal, but I said that about the Panthers. We'll be out at the Torch for the pregame. Excited about that. Got a big week. The Biletnikoffs are in town for their Crab Fest. We are brought to you by the M Resort Spahn Casino. For those who went to Ice Cube, that looked like a great time. And for all the fans that stay there, head to the Raiders Tavern and Grill inside M Resort. Proud partner of Once a Raider, Always a Raider.
you look at how the game went. We're down by two scores or so. Let Aiden come in and see what he could do with the offense, move it. You know, we're just trying to look for a spark.
Did that mean anything going forward, or is it still Gardner, still the guy?
I think we got to get with the players and just, you know, evaluate everything from yesterday first.
Antonio Pierce, I'll be with him tomorrow. Our scheduled Wednesday interview will be right there during our show. I'm live from Raiders headquarters every Wednesday, and that's on the Raiders YouTube feed, so make sure you get ready for that. Every year I host the show from the Shriners Children's Open, which is fantastic. Out in Summerlin, it is incredible. Where they put us, the access we have, and the opportunity that we have to be out there is something I value deeply with this partnership. Patrick Lindsay joins us from Shriners. And, Patrick, we're getting close, man. Appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure everything's rolling on for another great golf week.
Oh, it sure is. I appreciate, as always, you guys having me on. We are 3 weeks away. So it's fast and furious over here. The build's going up, but it's going to be a great week.
You know, we've talked about it over the years that there's a lot of golfers, top golfers, that play all year, and then they're just burnt out at the end of the year, and they kind of want to take a break, or they're playing the President's Cup, and they played in the FedEx Cup, whatever it is. This is a FedEx event. When you look at the opportunity to play at this level and the purse, I think the purse, correct me if I'm wrong, is $7 million, if I'm correct on this. This is a big-time golf tournament that every golfer who can get in should want to win.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's been a lot of changes to the PGA Tour over the last few years, but, you know, Las Vegas as a destination still makes it very popular for guys to still come out and play. They're obviously playing for a great organization as well, and Shriners. But, you know, to have the chance to come out and play for, you know, a $7 million purse, I think first place gets just over $1.2 million now. You know, also comes with a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour, an automatic invite into the Masters, lots of great reasons for guys to come out and play. But, you know, we have a pretty good field this year. Mm-hmm. Ricky Fowler's playing, which we're really, really excited to have Ricky come back. He's was not able to play last year, but is coming back to play this year. Tom Kim's won our event the last 2 years. We'll be back to try to win for a three-peat, which would be really great to see. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping maybe to have a couple Peat Cup players commit to our event. President's Cup is this week, so we'll see if anyone commits after this week is over. But we're hopeful that'll happen. But regardless, for players, lots of just great entertainment for guys to do outside the ropes here. A lot of areas that are open to the public. A lot of great places to be, and we know the weather's going to be great.
So yeah,
really, no excuse not to come out.
It's a fantastic event. Patrick Lindsay joins us from the Shriners Children's Open. I like what you've done with your vision of the hill off the driving range. Also, when I went to the driving range last year and I'm watching people tee off and I'm able to walk around, and then fans should love the opportunity to get out on the golf course and see some holes that they typically don't see. But then you come back to the hill and you see all your VIP and hospitality and what it looks like there. I sat on one of those wooden chairs with a couple of my buddies last year with a couple of adult beverages and watched everybody come up 18. I think it's one of the best views in all of golf, especially seeing the mountains behind and the view there. Yeah. Is this one of the best looking spots for the patrons to enjoy themselves? Tell us about your layout and what's going to be new.
Yeah, the hill will always be our most popular venue. And then last year, if you remember, we kind of changed the hill a little bit and made it a double decker. So now there's an upgraded ticket that's available for purchase that includes drinks called Club 360. High Noon's the sponsor of that venue, which is just an incredible sponsor to be associated with for our event. But the second level of that venue, Club 360, again, the name of it, I mean, views of 16, 17, and 18, 360 degree, that's the reason why we called it Club 360, views of just everything. 1T, 16, 17, 18, you can have some peekaboo views of the 10th tee of 9 green, just a lot of action up there. And, the ticket price of that, very reasonable, $130, will get you up there, includes drinks, and there's also a very special deal that's available at Costco's. For any of the listeners who have a Costco membership, you can walk into Costco and get a very special deal. Almost a buy one, get one free at Costco right now to get inside Club 360. So make sure you go check it out.
All right, so fill us in on everything. How to get tickets, what to do exactly. We're going to be out there broadcasting again. We always appreciate that. And before you go, I want to remind everybody, I go every year. This is fabulous. It's just great for the experience of fresh air, seeing the best golfers in the world compete at the highest level, bring your friends, socialize, make new friends. And if you're young in this business, you want to go out there and make contacts. There's a lot of people there who are out there doing business, talking golf, talking business, which I love.
Yeah, really a great place to get some business done is always the golf course, but no better place than this event as well. But you know, I want to say that we probably have made it more accessible to get tickets than ever before, or just be able to gain access to the tournament grounds. There's special promotions through Corona out there as well. So make sure you're following all the Corona accounts, because they're going to be giving away some free tickets. Clark County School District employees are all going to get free tickets as well. That's sponsored by Intermountain Healthcare. So we're excited to do that. UNLV students are going to get free tickets as well. So access to the golf course shouldn't be a problem. If you don't fit into any of those categories, we're still extremely affordable in order to get inside the gates. You can go on ShrinersChildrens.com, ShrinersChildrensOpen.com, and buy some tickets. Tickets start as low as $30 for a good any one-day ticket. But kids get in free as well, and that is very important for the mission of Shriners Children's and all that we do for families in need of medical care. All, you know, basically free, regardless of the family's ability to pay 18 years and younger. So anyone who is 18 years and younger with a ticketed adult will be able to get into the event for free. And again, that's really important for us. But once you get on site, I mean, there's open to the public structures all over the place. Easy ways to have a great time. We all know that, you know, we're not just flooded with spectators here. So you'll be able to get right up close and personal. Right on the rope line with a lot of these PGA Tour players. And like I said before, the weather's going to be perfect. So come out and see us Thursday, October 17th through Sunday, October 20th for some really great golf and supporting your great golf.
Yep, and I'll be out there broadcasting on Friday. We'll do a big job reminding everybody about that. Patrick, good to talk to you. I'll see you out there in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, CT. We'll see you guys soon.
You got it. Patrick Lindsay from the Shriners Open. It really is cool. You know, a lot of people ask me from out of town, I want to come in for the Pittsburgh game. You got any tickets? I go, excuse me? What do you think? There's a bowl of tickets? When I park at the Raiders, I walk in the lobby and there's a big bowl. And they say, JT, take two club seats and give it to anybody you want. No, there's no tickets. None. They're all sold. Okay? Shriners, Children's Open, plenty of space. You put on sneakers, you walk. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. You sit out, you watch the golfers, you have a good time. I love it. And when I go out there on Friday, I usually go back on Saturday or Sunday with one of our sons. And we got a nice broadcast location every year. And then they always put on a guest, one of the children and young kids. They could be anywhere from 16 to 12 who had a surgery, right? So they might have lost a limb. They might have had a surgery. They might have had something that was really serious in their lives. And the Shriners Hospital paid for it and help that person and their family. So it's fantastic what they do. Really happy to be a part about it. All right, this is an important interview. Last night I talked to the voice of the Browns, Andrew Siciliano, on my Mad Dog Sports Radio show. I reposition stuff that I do. This is me and him last night because I wanted to get the vibe on the Browns, who I heard are really injured. They're our next opponent, and this is the team that the Raiders are going to play. So this is a game that it was great that I could have my good friend on, Andrew Siciliano, as I congratulated him on this new gig as the voice of the Browns.
JT, good to be on with you. Great to talk to you. Thank you. It's been exciting. As I've said multiple times, hate the circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that Jim chose to retire, needed to retire, and obviously all our prayers and thoughts and support over the great Jim Donovan. I am happy to be doing the games. Both are very much true.
Nicely said about Jim. I've interviewed him for a long time, and again, the best. And to have the opportunity that you have, I know how gracious you have been since the announcement's been made. It looks like Cleveland's banged up. The Raiders are banged up too. They lost a couple of players, Malcolm Kuntz for the year, Marcus Epps. So we know, and Max Crosby isn't at 100%, but the Raiders blowing that game badly in their home opener to Carolina puts them kind of in the same thing as Cleveland. They got to win this game to get back on track. How banged up are the Browns?
They're pretty banged up, and you know, the big thing is here, JT, is the offensive line. The makeshift offensive line at the end of the game was one that if we had told you midweek was going to be the O-line of the fourth quarter, you probably would have started pouring your first drink pretty early. Joel Bitonio out to left tackle, which he hadn't done in a bunch of years, although, you know, obviously at Nevada he was a left tackle, but that was many, many years ago. He's in his 11th year. Nick Harris had to come in and play center, although he played really well. Your normal center, Ethan Posick, went to left guard. You had the rookie Zach Zinter, the former Michigan Wolverine, at right guard. That was his college position, but his first extensive play other than being brought in a jumbo situation in Jacksonville week two. Everything was broken at that point. Now, that unit actually played reasonably well in the fourth quarter, but when you throw in injuries now to Jed Wills, Wyatt Teller is going to be out at least a month. You don't know what James Hudson's status is as well. Honest to God, JT, I have no idea how that offensive line is going to walk out there for the first play on Sunday.
Andrew, Deshaun Watson is a great athlete, and I'm surprised it's taken this long for him to figure it out again and get going. I just know how good he is outside the pocket. Are they calling the right plays for him? Because it seemed like the interior, there was a lot of breakdowns, and the Giants rushed up the middle. And we know, you mentioned the injuries to the offensive line, but he could still make big throws athletically across his body. Is he getting outside the pocket enough, running enough? Where is his confidence level?
Oh, wow, there's a lot to unpack there, JT. So they brought in Ken Dorsey in the offseason. Alex Van Pelt, he and Kevin Stefanski parted ways, and he's now in New England. And they wanted to, I don't want to say modernize, but that would be the wrong way to say it, but put some things into this offense that plays to Deshaun's strengths. Obviously, Ken Dorsey had been in Buffalo before he was let go of midseason. Joe Brady took over. The numbers for the offense before he was fired were actually pretty good in Buffalo. There were some turnovers and some other issues. Regardless, he took the blame. But it hasn't come together for whatever reason this year. Now, it's not just Ken Dorsey's arrival and more RPOs and more shotgun and more empty in this offense. Bill Callahan left. He went with his son Brian. And he, most people think, is one of the best run game coordinators and O-line coaches we've seen in this league in the last 25 years. So he's gone, and now Andy Dickerson comes in, who had been in Seattle and before that in Los Angeles. Whatever it is, it's not working, and the communication, at least so far, seemingly isn't there to pick up the twists, the stunts, the games that all these DCs are throwing at you. Shane Bowen is not somebody that generally brings the heat, right? Mike Vrabel's on the Browns staff. Obviously, that's kind of Vrabel's defense that Shane Bowen is running there in New York. He brought the heat early and often, and when the Browns couldn't pick it up, he kept bringing it and bringing it and bringing it. Something has got to get fixed because, yes, Deshaun is under constant pressure, and he's been pressured, I believe, 57 times in three games, which is by far the most in the NFL. But he is also holding the ball a little bit too long on certain plays. Both are very much true, and it's just not in sync.
Andrew Siciliano is our guest. Sirius XM, Mad Dog NFL Radio. He's the Browns play-by-play voice. What a great run on NFL Red Zone. And I'm sure you're familiar with Antonio Pierce's comments about players making business decisions as the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, lit him up. And I think it's okay for Pierce to say that because he celebrates with the team when they win. He won a Super Bowl with the Giants. He was a very good player, but a lot of people, especially broadcasters, aren't used to that. And I think he could kind of move down that road because he played. He's a guy who played in the league and now is a head coach. How is that going to play out all week in Cleveland?
It's interesting. My first reaction was, well, it's probably the right thing to say because I had watched the second half of your game a little bit. And listen, I'm curious, you know, what you thought coming in. You knew that Andy Dalton would play well and the Panthers would get a bounce, right? Like, it couldn't be as bad as it had looked the first 2 weeks. I just didn't expect it to be that one-sided. I mean, some of those CBS reaction shots of Raider fans sitting there with the long stares in the fourth quarter, they kept going back to them as well they should have because it was just bad. But if you're Antonio Pierce, who I love, and you're going to make that statement, you kind of got to back it up. Then where are your changes? Because if you say it, to keep the locker room, don't you have to actually do it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole point is that how far can he say it, pull it back, or go with that there? Because, again, he's a player's coach. But it is a big backstory here because, you know, Andrew, one of the great things I can do with you here is you can go around the league as good as anybody. The rest of the league seems like everybody is 1-2. And there's a lot of coaches saying things. There's a lot of injuries. With all your years of covering the NFL, do you think we're seeing this poor play because of the lack of preparation in the preseason, the starters not playing, you add in the injuries and the slow starts this year? This year's been kind of a slow train wreck for a lot of teams that are really struggling. How do you see it?
You know, I feel like we have 6 months of shows here because you're going to be doing this the entire offseason. Yeah. In 2025 leading into training camp, you know, how do coaches change things? I think it's been coming for a while. You know, obviously in COVID, we canceled the preseason. Mm-hmm. And then in 2021, you cut it from 4 games down to 3. You're seeing more and more joint practices with the starters and the preseason games turning in to glorified scrimmages for the bottom third of the roster here and guys trying to make the team that'll never see opening day. It's a big issue in Cleveland because people say, well, see, this proves that you should play people. Well, you know, Kevin Stefanski actually does play some guys in the preseason. Mm-hmm. He doesn't play many, but he does play some starters, some of the O-line, some on defense. You can't rest everybody unless you're Sean McVay, who truly does rest everybody. And listen, I have 14 years with the Rams doing their preseason, I guess 13 because they didn't do 2020. Jeff Fisher, much different era, played everybody. Sean McVay plays nobody. Nobody in the preseason. As a matter of fact, this year, JT, he didn't play his first, second, and third round picks. They didn't dress in the preseason. Check that. There are 2 third round picks. Cam Kinchin did play week 1, but only week 1. But Blake Corum and Jared Verse and Braden Fitz did not even suit up in the preseason. The Rams are fine. Now, they have a lot of injuries on their O-line. That's their biggest issue, and at wide receiver. But generally speaking, that attitude has not hurt them in September. So it can be done. You can bench everybody in the preseason and get good work in during training camp because there's precedent here. Sean McVay generally has pulled it off.
Andrew Siciliano joins us. I'll stay on that game with the Niners. You know the Niners fans, they travel well from Vegas to L.A. They just travel. They're a big, massive fan base with all the success they had with Montana and Steve Young, and that's a really good rivalry there. The Niners are also decimated with injuries. And now Christian McCaffrey is in Germany checking on the arthritis with the Achilles here. What do you think of the Niners overall? Because they clearly had a window to win multiple Super Bowls. The Chiefs got them 2, and they're going back-to-back for a three-peat. You think the Niners are in trouble going forward?
I mean, as you said, everyone's 1-2, so I hesitate to say in trouble, but it's going to be a slog. It's going to be a battle. It seems like this is always the case with them. They either stay healthy and they make the Super Bowl or everybody gets injured and it's a mess. Sometimes it's kind of a combination of the two as well. Remember, they had their 3-game losing streak last year. Was it 5-6-7 or 6-7-8? I can't remember the weeks where they lost to Cleveland. They lost to Minnesota in primetime. Then they lost to the Bengals here. And that was without Debo, without Trent Williams. And I think with McCaffrey banged up there as well. They were able to fight through that and able to still make it there to the final game. I think they can do that because I really like what Brock Purdy did yesterday. I mean, I think he keeps showing you that the kid, he deserves to get paid and don't hold his draft spot against him when it comes to the payday. But, you know, that is a lot to overcome. I mean, a lot. So, you know, more on his shoulders. And, hey, look, the Bills are in the end zone again, Jason.
Look at that. There it is. It's your roots. You call live touchdowns as we see this. Blowout alert.
Why did I send Khalil Shakir on my stinking fantasy team?
Yes. And listen, man, this is an unbelievable performance, and Jacksonville's in trouble. Andrew Siciliano, as we wrap it up, the new podcast, Thinking Out Loud, with my good friend Sam Batesh, where you can get on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. And I just want to tell you this.
Look at that. Here.
Of just course I am.
Two guys in their basement that decided a couple of weeks ago, why not? Let's just talk because we do every day anyway. Okay. Thank you, JT.
Because you know I have one. That's the same exact thing I do with Looney. And Tom Looney and I have been doing a podcast for years because you know what the best part about this? And I want to say this year because we've been friends a long time. The reason why you're doing it with Sam, and who's a great friend of mine too, and Looney's a great friend of yours, That's how I get to talk to my great friend every week. Like, we're on the phone and we hang up in 10 seconds. Hey, I'll call you back. Hey, I'll see you next week. And I go, no. We're going to sit down for 40 minutes. We're going to look at each other. And it really is a big part of keeping my friendship with my podcast partner going forward. And the same thing that you're going to do, plus you get to talk sports.
Yeah, look, it's a great attitude. And it's a different perspective. I also feel, you know, it's everyone's got a podcast, so I would love ours to stand out and be different in a little way. You know, we're still trying to find that footing, but thanks for the plug. It's we're doing the YouTube. The YouTube channel is Siciliano Show. It has like five followers, all in my family. So feel free at Siciliano Show on YouTube, and you know, I'll be posting it as well. Obviously, well, it's on Apple and Spotify.
Yes,
all those fun places. JT, you're the best.
Well, what's great about this is my son, who you met when he was 2 years old, and he's now helping out with my YouTube channel, and he gave me great advice because he's working with a lot of other different people in media, and he said, you know, Dad, just don't look at the numbers. Start this thing off and keep doing it every day, and it's like what you've done through your whole career. You're always working. I'm always working, and then you build these things, and the next thing you know, and you're a good example of this because you've had so many jobs, the landscape of media is changing to the point where if you don't have a YouTube channel and build it from scratch, 5-10 years from now, everything might just be done on YouTube the way this marketplace is looking.
I mean, it's true. You know, Bo Bishop and Nathan Segura, who do great work for the Browns in their building, doing Cleveland Browns Daily every day. That's live on YouTube. That's how I watch. You can get everything. I'm doing Ohio State, Michigan State this week on Peacock, and that's how I'm watching my press conferences. We get ready for that game as well. So,
well, I'll see you in Vegas, where this past week, and I had, you know, a lot of our mutual friends. So I go out Friday night. I get the wife with me. I'm like looking at my watch. There are no watches in Vegas in the casinos. Right. And I'm looking, going, look, Sunday's long. I got to do Mad Dog 8 to 11 after the pre and post for the Raiders. And now the Browns are coming in. And I will tell you out of respect, I've seen all the teams come through here at least once. Mm-hmm. And now Cleveland's coming in, and they are buying any ticket they can get their hands on, because Cleveland fans love to travel. I think that's a good thing. I've always loved the Dog Pound. Great fans, and they're going to travel well, I would assume, here to Vegas.
Yeah, they are, and they will, and this is one that's been circled. You know, there's some fun road trips this year. We were just in Jacksonville last week. Weather wasn't great, but huge amount of Browns fans. There is a Vegas trip this year. Is Washington and Philly, which are fun and short trips, but New Orleans is a big one coming up as well in November. So New Orleans is the other one that everybody is circling. But yes, I know the flagship is going out there, a couple hundred people, fans and sponsors and everybody on Friday. So it is a big Browns party. Hopefully they get themselves a win in what you said is a game now between two desperate teams.
Yeah, desperate.
It's much more fun.
Yeah, Raiders need one, too, in a big way. I'll see you in the booth, if not before that. Great to talk to you, my friend.
Yes, sir, JT.
Andrew Siciliano, hope you enjoyed that. That was really good on his part. So he's the voice of the Browns. Jim Donovan and his great career and his illness and stepping aside. And Andrew, obviously, because of what happened to Jim Donovan, takes over, and he grew up a Browns fan. So he's the voice of the Browns. On top of having the red zone job for decades, and now he's launching a YouTube channel like I did, because we're all doing it. We're all just trying to have this other platform, and he's just starting with it. I hope you enjoyed that. That's the voice of the Browns. He wants the Browns to win. I want the Raiders to win. And Raiders have to win. I said, I opened up the show a while ago. It's a must-win game. Period. You see what the black hole did? They had the walk over the bridge, the March of Champions with a marching band and everything else. They're tailgating at Whiskey Now Stadium beforehand. You can be a lifetime member by going to theblackhole.com, theblackhole.com. I got to double up and do two for one. I got to talk about La Casa Cigars. I'm going to pop over there Thursday night at La Casa Cigars for Thursday night football. A little two for one there.
Yeah, that's really what it's all about, you know, just being consistent through the, you know, through all things, through the good, the bad, the ugly, just remaining consistent. And even when things don't go your way or do go your way, never get too high, never get too low as a team and as individuals. And, you know, that's really the best way to be able to move forward and just remain consistent throughout the course of the year. You know, because that is, again, the NFL. There's going to be good weeks. There's going to be bad weeks. There's going to be good plays, bad plays. So just remaining consistent, level-headed through it all.
I love that soundbite from Christian Wilkins. Matter of fact, that's going to be one of my questions to the head coach tomorrow, Antonio Pierce. I'm going to address that. Christian Wilkins was sent to the podium for a reason. He's a veteran. He's a great player. He doesn't panic. Raiders didn't play well. They got beat badly. No surprise, Christian Wilkins was representing the team at the podium and said, look, we're going to be some good weeks and some bad weeks. Very consistent with his comments here. Very consistent, which you need. You need from some people when you put them up in front of a camera and a microphone. Not everybody can be panicking. Not everybody can be me today saying it's a must-win game. Not everybody's going to do what I did today, saying it's a must-win game. But I think it is, and I've been doing this longer than anybody. I think this is a early must-win game. And if they win, they don't have to win the next one or the one after that. This one, they kind of got to win. They got to avoid 1-3 in September. That wasn't on the bingo card, as everyone likes to say. 2-2 looks good. 3-1 is gone because they lost to Carolina. 3-1 was attainable, but thrown away by losing to Carolina. Allen, Colorado Springs, what's happening?
What's up, JT? Hey, man. I was with AP getting ready to talk about business decisions, right? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things he talked about was what it smells like, what it sounds like, what it looks like. But JT, right now, it smells like booty, it looks like Charmin, and it sounds like crickets. That offensive line that the Raiders got, they can't run. No gaps are being opened up. So why don't they just go ahead and spread them out four wide, do like you say, and start passing the ball, go to their strength. Running game is not their strength, man. So, like, pass the ball.
Great.
You got playmakers, man.
It's too important of a game for them to think they can establish the run and get to 1-3. They've blown that opportunity to say, we want to still establish the run. We want to do blank, blank, blank. You would have to go with your strengths, you would agree, in this game to go win the game at all cost.
That's right.
Yeah. And
go with your strengths. Utilize AP. Utilize Brock Bowers, man. That game he played, he was catching everything, man. The only pass that he didn't catch was when the defender was all over, and that was a good play by the defender. But he catches everything, man. Utilize the man. Utilize the strengths. Go, man. Shoot. Jacoby Myers, and you know what? And I want to see Devontae Adams, man, start blocking downfield when they have that running game. And you need to start blocking. Stop dropping them past, Devontae.
Wow. Look, I think Devontae does everything pretty bleeping good. Pretty bleeping good. And I think Devontae is the least of the problems right now. I think Devontae is the guy. Yeah, the drops are going to happen. They're going to happen with everyone. He had a great game in Baltimore, even though he dropped two. Great game. If he dropped 2 out of 3, we'd have a problem here. We don't have that problem with Devontae. He'll be fine. Got a chance to meet Epic Raider. Appreciate him from Colorado. He was at our remote at Whiskey Stadium. What's happening, my friend?
Hey, what's up, JT? Man, I'm in Colorado Springs, too. That's crazy. Hey, man, I didn't call to rag on the players. Coach is going to get it fixed. I do cars. I don't know squat about coaching. Man, I'm calling because I had a killer time meeting you at the Whiskey. That was amazing. The leader of the Black Hole. All of them. Man, I feel like I got more family than ever now. But I'm going to tell you what, me and my beautiful wife, we were at the front of the pack for that march over the bridge. I had goosebumps in the middle of the desert, dude.
Yeah, look good. That looked really good.
One of the craziest things I've ever experienced.
When are you coming out again, Epic Raider? When's your next game?
Well, like everybody else, I got to kind of lick my wounds and recoup my money. You know, I'm not bitching about the cash, but yeah, I got to build up the funds so I can come back.
Yeah, so do I. I'm paying for God. So do I.
Yeah,
we all got to rebuild the funds when we do great things in life. But, man, it was great the dedication you made to come out to the game.
Man, you know what? I got up that morning. I did a 3-mile run. I went around the stadium. I started at the Luxor, went around the stadium, and then up the strip. I gave the team everything I had, energy. I gave them my voice. I gave it all. But for me, it was meeting the Black Hole. And I came home a bigger Raider fan than when I came out, dude.
Good for you. Keep calling the show, man. Appreciate
you. Thank you, brother.
You got it. Epic Raider. You had a shirt on that said Epic Raider. I'm like, that's a cool shirt, man. I'd love that shirt and a JT if you had one, man. It was a good shirt. Remember, I accept all Raider T-shirts, and I like to wear Raider Booster Club T-shirts while I host the show here on our YouTube channel. If you didn't get the YouTube channel, it's JT the Brick YT. YT's for YouTube. We got some good things happening there. Tomorrow, we're on the Raiders YouTube channel. So just go to YouTube. The Raiders got a big account. We'll broadcast the first hour from noon to 1 there, which is a lot of fun. The head coach joins me in that hour. Hugh Myers is coming up next. I heard his show last night as I was driving home from the win on ESPN. Really good with the games going on in progress. Raider Nation, you're not the Jaguars and the Bengals. Got a chance to go to 2-2. That'll be the focus of the show the rest of the week. Frosty Rucker, former Raider, joins us also tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for listening.